Amen, church. Amen. I'm truly grateful in this service, especially because of our young people. It's just beautiful to see our young people leading out, and it is really an acknowledgement of the great work the parents have done with our children. We want to truly commend you. I also want to commend you as a church for the investments you're making in the young people. I really want to appreciate that. I want to thank Elder Richard for those words of welcome. This has not been my best week. I'm just recovering from an infection of the chest and the throat. I wasn't sure, so I told Elder yesterday, just get standby, just in case I'll struggle this morning. And he said, we're going to pray for you, Pastor. There's no way you're not going to minister to us. And I want to thank God that I have the opportunity to share this morning. I thought about the words of the songs the young people have sung. You alone are my heart's desire. Can you acknowledge that God alone is your heart's desire? What will it take for God to be our heart's desire in this year? What will it truly take for God to be our heart's desire? The other aspects of the worship have confirmed something to me today. Whatever is in store for us in 2023, this we can be sure of, God is going to be with us. And God is going to see us through. But the most exciting part about it is this. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. That God has already made provisions for what it is you're going to experience this year. So that ultimately his will be done in your life. Turn to the person seated next to you and say to them, it is going to be all right. Now, Richard, my elder is standing by themselves. I believe you need to go next and sit next to them so that you can fellowship with them. You need to sit next to them. You know, my messages are all very interactive, so it will be good for us. So I want to assure you, through the word of the Lord, 2 Peter 1 and 3 says, God's divine power has given to us everything, not just some things, everything we need for life and godliness. That's already provided. All that you and me need to find out now, how do we access it? How do we experience it? And I want to share with you the title of my message today, Seeking the Lord and the Lost. In fact, I took that title from my resolution for this year. One of my prayer resolutions this year, very simple. One of my resolutions is to daily seek a closer walk and work with the Holy Spirit. To daily seek a deeper relationship with Jesus, and to daily seek a clear understanding and experience of God's plan and provision for my life, my family, my church, and my community. That's my resolution for this year. My resolution is to seek an experience that is closer with God, a clear understanding, a deeper relationship, and a closer walk with the Lord. What is your greatest desire this year? What is it you would want to see the Lord do for you this year? You know, I have said here in the past, there is a statement by Paul where he says, faith comes from hearing. What you hear and see informs and transforms and affirms your faith. So the first place you hear, or the first thing you hear, is your own prayers. And so every day I pray, by the way, I am hearing and informing and affirming my faith. And because I have made this my prayer, I am looking forward to it being my experience. Seeking the Lord I want to plead with you to make God first, foremost, and best in this year. Although he has made all those provisions, the way we can tap into them is to access them. So let me share with you some 7 important things about seeking the Lord. Go ahead, Carl. Oh, I can't see the screen. Can you see the screen? Just. Proverbs 25 and verse 8. Evil people don't understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, the unrighteous man his thought. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have what? Mercy. Those who seek the Lord understand all. Those who seek the Lord will receive mercy. Will find him because he's found. It doesn't stop there. It continues to say, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. God is waiting to be found for those who make time to seek him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to those who seek him. He's waiting to be good. Just make the time to seek the Lord. And it continues to say, seek the Lord. Search diligently for him and long for him as your most essential need, and you will live. You want to live? Seek the Lord. Oh, it even continues further. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all things will be given to you. What is faith? It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Anyone who wants to come to God must believe 2 things. Not only that he exists, but that he will richly reward those who diligently seek him. So friends, brothers and sisters, there is a blessing waiting for us if we will make the time and the effort to seek the Lord. What are some of the songs we sing that talk about seeking the Lord? Okay? Let's see some of the songs that we sing. I get you to sing some of these. I should have notified. Carl, if you can go on to the next slide, please. You know this song? How does it go?
Seek ye first the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah,
sing the second stanza with more confidence, with some more life in it. Can you do that? Live by. Hallelujah. I am tempted to sing with you, but I know my throat is not good. That's why I'm not singing with you. Yes, there's another song we sing about seeking the Lord. You just sang it. Can we sing it again? I want you to sing it, but I want you to personalize it now. I will early seek the Savior. Sing it. Let's sing it together. Seek the Savior. For he loves me,
yes, he loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know.
Jesus loves me, died to save me. This is why I
love him so.
I will early seek the Savior. And I know you know this song, is it? How does it go?
And
into the fold,
into the fold, the fold of
Jesus the Lamb,
Jesus the Lamb,
Lamb, Lamb for sinners slain. Thus I would go on following Christ from day on to day, sharing, sing,
hold.
Amen. You're going to sing it. Don't worry. You're going to sing it. You're going to sing it again at the end. But I want you to get the message. The blessings of seeking the Lord. One of the disciples of Jesus who models for us better than any other what it means and takes to seek the Lord is Andrew. Andrew can be characterized with three main attributes. He is a sincere seeker of the Lord, a keen learner, and also a skilled steward. This is the passage of scripture that was read for us. You have your Bibles with you? I want you to turn to the passage of scripture. We have had it read once. Thank you very much for reading it for us. I want you to look at the words. You could have them in your Bible or in the screen. I'll give you 3 minutes to share with the person next to you. But I want you to hear me read it again. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him saying this, they followed Jesus. Standing around, Jesus saw them following and said, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying? Where are you abiding?" "Come and see," Jesus replied. So they went and saw where Jesus stayed and spent the rest of the day. So from 4 p.m. to sunset, these two disciples put themselves in the position of Jesus. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John said and followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to go to his brother and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. From that passage of scripture, Share with the person next to you, what do you learn about Andrew? Just one lesson you learn about Andrew. And the second one, what do you learn about Jesus? It's time for you to share and minister to the person next to you. What do you learn about Andrew? It's time for some feedback. Okay. One of the lessons that we learn about Andrew is he was not selfish. He did not keep to himself what he discovered, and he decided to share. Is it good for us to do that this year? I believe it is good for us to do that this year. Whatsoever you have received, don't keep it. Share it. I've come to discover that what you keep, you lose. What you give, you keep. Whatever you share with other people, and if you do it more than once, it's as though it remains. But if you keep something to yourself, and what I'll share today, if you just keep it to yourself, I can assure you by Wednesday it is going to be displaced by something else. But if you share it, that's one lesson. What else did you learn from Andrew? Mike, anything came to your mind?
He was after finding something that is worthwhile to find.
Is a seeker for something worth a while. Anybody else came with something that you feel we need to learn before I share my thoughts? Yes. It's one thing to be convinced. It's another thing to be convicted. It's a third thing to be committed. Don't just let things settle in your mind. Let them move to your heart. Because the moment you are convicted and committed, then you will be able to leave it out. He's convicted. Thank you for that point. What do we learn about Jesus from this story? What did you learn about Jesus? They were curious to know about Jesus. Did Jesus just tell it to them? No. It's interesting. What did Jesus invite them to do? Come and see for yourself. It is something Jesus does repeatedly. Instead of explaining, he wants you to experience. See it for yourself. Taste it for yourself. Feel it for yourself. And I want to suggest to you, as you have heard me say, that when people experience, it is easier for them to understand when you explain it. So Jesus said, we have to be salt before we are light. Because salt gives you an experience. And you are learning something from Jesus. Now let me share with you something about Andrew that is very exciting. The first time we meet Andrew, notice Andrew is the disciple of who? John the Baptist. John is here preaching. He had two disciples with him. Andrew. The other disciple is likely John or Philip. We're not very sure. So the first time we meet Andrew, Andrew is a disciple of John. Now, most of us know the lifestyle of John, isn't it? To be a disciple of John was not an easy thing. It was about a disciplined life. So one of the things we learn about Andrew is that Andrew is somebody who is willing to sacrifice his personal convenience and comfort to embrace what he's convicted about. Through the testimony, so Andrew is a disciple of John. Through the testimony of John, Andrew became the first disciple of Jesus. Andrew is a seeker of God and the truth. When John the Baptist started preaching, Andrew discerned in John's preaching the truth of God and committed himself to learn. Pick that point. That when John begins preaching, wherever he is, this man, Andrew, who has a longing for God, a longing for truth, discerns in the ministry of John the message and truth of God and decides that is what is going to be in his life. And he has followed John. When John points to Jesus as the Messiah, Andrew sought for Jesus and became the disciple of Jesus. Sincere seekers are always ready to follow where the Spirit is leading them. They are not stuck with individuals. They are not stuck with places. They are not stuck with, you know, a setting. They are following the Spirit of God. Friends, to be a true disciple requires a readiness to seek and submit to the revelation of God. Jeremiah 29 and verse 13, 11 to 13. This is what Jeremiah tells us. If you have your Bible, turn with me, Jeremiah 29. We all know that passage. I know the plans I have for you. You know that passage? Plans to do what? To prosper you. Plans to do you good. But I want you to listen. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Then you will call me and come and pray to me, and I will listen. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Hear me, church. If we truly want to experience God's plan for our lives, for our families, for our church, we must make the effort to seek the Lord. Andrew is a sincere seeker. I pray that this year we will all cultivate that heart of searching for God. And as the Spirit leads, we will commit ourselves to obey that small, still voice of the Spirit. The second thing you pick out about Andrew is this. When he had come to Jesus, and from 4 p.m. to sunset, spent time with Jesus, Andrew is a quick learner. Because he quickly understands the true identity of Jesus. When he visits his brother, what does he say to him? We have found the Messiah. He learned that Jesus was the Messiah, the one whom the prophets had wrote about. It tells me something. While Andrew was in the company of Jesus, he was determined to learn not just about Jesus, but to learn from Jesus. He used the presence, he used the company of Jesus as an opportunity for new understanding, new experiences, new revelation. Friends, hear me out. It is one thing to come to Jesus. It is beautiful to love the presence of Jesus. It is another thing to take the time to be there to learn from that experience. Many of us are failing to discover the mind of Jesus, even though we are in the presence of Jesus. Many of us are failing to discern, to discover, and to know the heart of Jesus, the works of Jesus, the words of Jesus, and even more importantly, not just to know them, to learn from them. So I want to ask you, are you like Andrew? Anytime you have a chance, not just happy with the company of Jesus, but keen to learn and take from that company a new understanding, an affirmation of your faith, and more importantly, a commitment to grow. I believe you have your Bibles with you. Turn with me to Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10. I want you to meet one of my favorite priests, and you'll discover why This priest is very unique. Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10 reads the following. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to do that law, and to teach the statutes and ordinances in Israel. Ezra committed himself to do what? To learn, to know what was God's will. Are you committed to know God's will for your life? Every week the Lord allows you to come in his space to worship and fellowship with others. Do you go home with a clear understanding? Andrew left that presence of Jesus with a clear understanding, I have met the Messiah, and was very keen to share that. So let me put you to the test. What did you learn about Jesus in 2022? What did you learn from Jesus in 2022? Please stand to the person next to you and share with them one of your foremost and most exciting learnings of Jesus in 2022. We are not going to ask you to tell us, but we are going to ask the person sitting next to you what you shared with them. So what did you learn about Jesus in 2022? Faith, what did you learn about Jesus? What was the most exciting learning for you? Here's my sister. Faith is thinking through. She'll be the next one. Yes. Amen. Jesus can be trusted. Jesus can be depended on. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Who else would like to share with us their foremost learning for last year?
And Ruth here mentioned that Jesus is faithful.
Jesus is faithful. Yes.
Jesus loves to surprise us.
Jesus loves to surprise us. Jesus never fails. Some of you know I train people in being disciples. We do a course of about 5 sessions. And one of the skills I teach them is about learning about Jesus in order to learn from Jesus. So I give them an assignment. I say to them, I want you to read John chapter 1, verses 1 to 12. And when you have read that passage, I want you to memorize 2 verses and then to write down, what do you learn about Jesus and what do you learn from Jesus? John chapter 1, all of us know the verse, isn't it? In the beginning was the Word. And the word was with God. And the Word was God. Through him, everything was made. And without him, nothing was made that was made. What do you learn about Jesus just from those passages? He's our creator, isn't it? Second and most exciting one is, Jesus always lived and functioned in a community. He was with God. He always functioned in a community. And the one thing I learned when I read that is he created me. If he created me, he is going to sustain me. If he's going to sustain me, he has already saved me. That's my takeaway home. The other second thing is this, that I need to learn to get away from living a self-centered life. We must know the joy of living and relating with other people. Jesus never lived alone. He never worked alone. He always lived and worked in a community. He worked with the Father and the Spirit all the time. So when you find yourself being attracted to doing things alone, you know that that's the Spirit of Christ. John chapter 2. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana of Galilee, isn't it? Jesus' mother was there. Jesus and his disciples had been invited. What happened? They ran out of wine. And the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. What did Jesus say? My time is not yet. But he still went ahead and did what? Turned water into wine. What do we learn about Jesus? For me, Jesus is a very sociable person. But he doesn't force himself in people's lives. He has to wait to be invited. He came to the occasion because he was invited. And Jesus is not going to run and show his power off. He's very reluctant. But when there's a crisis, he shows off. And I love this. He takes water that has no color, has no taste, has no value, and turns it into something that has color and taste and value. So what am I learning from Jesus? That's what he wants to do in my life. And that's what he wants you to do in other people's lives. What am I saying? When you have a chance to be in his space, don't live there the same way you came. Learn not just about Jesus, but also from Jesus. When you make a commitment to learn, the Holy Spirit empowers you to also share. So the third attribute of Andrew that I want us to take with us, Andrew is not just a sincere seeker, a keen learner. Andrew is also a skillful steward of the revelations of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, if you have your Bibles with you, turn there with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 1 and 2. Paul is asking us to begin seeing ourselves the way Jesus is seeing us. And this is what Paul says. This then is how you ought to regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Who is a steward? A steward is like a manager, one who has been entrusted the goods of another in order to manage them according to the instructions of the owner. And what we discover with Andrew is something very exciting. That when he discovered who Jesus was, he did not keep that to himself. He also knew that the owner of that revelation expected and desired that he might share that with other people. And so Andrew is not just a learner. He follows to share that experience with family, with friends, with acquaintances. And I love this. He personalizes the message. What does Andrew say to Peter? We have found the Messiah. So it's personal. It's not that I found a Messiah. He says we. It isn't just my own experience. It is our experience. And friends, what you come to discover is that Andrew is not just keen to share with the family. Andrew has this gift of being able to identify individuals and share the message. Andrew is the one who identified the little boy who had 5 fish and how many loaves of bread? 2. Is it a fish that were 2 or the bread? 2 fish and 5 bread. It is Andrew who brought that boy to Jesus. When some Greeks wanted to see Jesus, it is Andrew who took them to Jesus. So Andrew has this ability of coming close to people on a personal level, identifying their need, and being able to direct them to Jesus. I call Andrew a multi-generational, a multi-ethnic disciple maker. He knows how to connect with the young people. He knows how to connect across ethnic divides. Why? Because he had this ability to learn daily not only from the Lord, but also from the Holy Spirit. I pray that in 2023, you will not only get excited about your learning, but you will make yourself available to the Holy Spirit so that he may give you the skills, he may give you the courage, he may give you the confidence, he may give you the competences to share Jesus with other people, to show Jesus with other people. Let me wrap up by saying the following. Andrew is the least conspicuous of those closest to Jesus. He was the least conspicuous. You know, his brother, Peter, was the most talkative. You know, the most assertive. You wouldn't believe it. Andrew was behind the scene. You had very little. In fact, there are only 9 recorded accounts of his name. And 4 of them are just a list. It is only 3 instances where Andrew is recorded as active. But the most beautiful thing about it is this. Whenever Andrew is recorded, he is always recorded doing the right thing. You know, Peter, his brother, makes a lot of messes. He says the wrong stuff. He does the wrong thing. But every time Andrew speaks, it is in a setting where people are doubting and he speaks faith. It is in a setting where people are unsure and he shows direction. That's what turns out about Andrew. He was decisive and deliberate. And what I love about Andrew is this. He saw value in individuals. He didn't go for the big occasions. When he saw an individual, whether young or old, he was able to treat them with a kind of attention as he would treat the most important person. That was Andrew. He saw value of individuals. He saw value of small gifts. Imagine the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish. A meal for a child. But Andrew saw in that little gift a great potential. And because of faith, what did Jesus do with that gift? He fed 5,000 men, excluding women and children. Almost 20,000 people. Because Andrew saw the gift. Let me say to us friends today, the one-to-one friendship evangelism evident in Andrew is still the most effective way to share faith with others. But it comes from spending quality time with Jesus, learning from him so that you can share him with others. I pray that in 2023, you and me will know the joy, the beauty, the blessing of those quality moments with Christ, seeking the Lord, seeking his ways, but more importantly, sharing them with others. So I want to say to you, dare to be, not a Daniel, dare to be an Andrew in 2023. A sincere seeker, a keen learner, and a skilled steward or witness of the revelations of God.